You know when you're locked in, focused, and fearless.
Welcome to the WNBA.
Your vision narrows. You can't look away. Every assist, every stop, every logo three.
From beyond the logo.
Every did you see that moment?
You bet.
What records are going to be broken this season?
All of it, right here. Lock in. It's the WNBA on ESPN. All season long.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host O'Shea Jackson Jr. live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If Aaron Donald's back,
that's a problem, man.
Earlier on the show, Big Three basketball star Montrezl Harrell. Coming up, fantasy football analyst Matthew Berry, WWE superstar Tiffany Stratton. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Hello there, neighbor. It's good to see y'all, man. Chris Brockman, man.
Hey, what's up, Jay?
It's almost time for every man group's national holiday, which is draft day.
Oh, yeah, man.
That fantasy football draft, dude, is stressful.
Cannot wait.
How do you do your draft?
We do a live in-person draft for most people who can make it in the city of the team that wins the Super Bowl.
Ooh,
so we are going
that's kind of baller.
Back to Seattle. Yeah,
big flex.
Yeah, we went to Seattle last time in 2014. Now we're going back. Excited.
Dude, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm hoping to play Chambers Bay up there if anybody wants to get me on at tea time.
How many people in your league?
14. Man's league.
Too many. Too many.
14. Man's league.
Man's league.
You know what I mean?
I'm in a man's league and we ain't got 14.
How long does everybody get for each pick?
Uh-oh.
Here's a kicker, Shay. This is your man's league for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
No time limits.
That's great.
You're a sick freak.
That's crazy.
Our draft usually takes about 8 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in a 16 man.
Yeah.
It's gross.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
But since I am in such a brutal league and I've been in it and I will not leave, even though they keep trying to quit, but I won't quit until I win, I need advice. Therefore, I have to ask experts. And so when they told me that I was hosting the Rich Eisen Show, I thought about, how do I get this Matthew Berry text off? Invite him on the show. And I could text him while I interview. What's going on, Matthew Berry? Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, man.
What's up, yo? Okay, what's going on, man? Good to see you, my friend, as always. How are you doing?
Good to see you. Now, you know.
I like Seattle, by the way. That is a baller move. I agree with you. I would argue that a 14-team league is not a man's league. It is a 16-team league like you. Back in the 06-08 days, we always talked about a man's league. It was always 16 teams. But getting on a plane and flying to the Super Bowl champion, wherever it was, the city of the Super Bowl champion. So in this case, they're getting on a plane going to Seattle. That's a baller move. That's nice. Very cool.
That is gentleman-like,
Chris
Brockman. My goodness. All right, man. The stressful time that we all wait for, which honestly is the best part of the league for me. Like, it's the one time where everybody's together. I also do a live draft, where everybody's together. Everybody's trash talking. Loser is bringing in the feast for everybody, whoever was last place. I think we're going Holland Rays this year, by the way. But yeah, it's the best time of year. It's the worst time of year. I need to know, man, when you draft, are you like I'm a guy who sometimes it bites me because I'm trying to balance it too much. Like, oh, I need another wide receiver here. I should take another wide receiver here. Are you more of a stockpile a position if the guy's right there, you just got to grab him? Or are you trying to balance out when you draft?
I let the draft come to me. It obviously depends on your format, depends on league size, right?
Yeah.
You know, like in a 16-team league, like you're in, O'Shea, like every pick needs to count. If I'm in a 10-team league where teams are more stacked, I'm willing to take more chances, right? Because I know the waiver wire is going to be fairly thick, and I can you know make up for mistakes during the season. Depends, like, am I in a guillotine league? So I'm drafting players with more floor than I am upside, right? So I think I'm a big believer in just sort of let the draft come to you, and I'm a big best player available. I'm not a guy that, to answer your question about a specific player or anything like that or a specific position, I will say this, that the draft is just one piece of the puzzle, right? You're yeah. building a foundation for a team. You don't have to – like, your team's going to change throughout the course of the season, whether it's injuries, whether it's free agent pickups, trades that you make. So I'm a big believer, like I said, in best player available. So if you're just like, man, I would much rather grab – stockpile, like, a bunch of wide receivers. Like, if I'm wide receiver, and you're just like, man, I really need a tight end. But I'm sitting there looking and like, man, none of these tight ends are any good. But there is still this great wide receiver that's out there. Even though I, quote, don't need a wide receiver, I'll draft the wide receiver because now you have trade depth. Mm-hmm. I would much rather I would rather get the best player and then I've got depth to trade rather than reaching for, you know, a tight end or a running back just because I need someone. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always felt like fantasy basketball, that's one in the draft. Waiver wire is where you win your fantasy football draft. You know, finding that lucky grab that just turns into a star going on, you know, later on. And everybody's looking for that. But there's also some fool's gold out there. You know, some you're always waiting for the guy to either, you know, he's a fan of a team, so he's got to grab him. You know, that he's got to grab CeeDee Lamb. That's how I got Saquon Barkley last year. Because my man, JaVale, he had to grab CeeDee Lamb with like the fourth pick, which is wild to me, but it's really. Fine. It's not my team. All right, what fool's gold do you see out there?
Well, look, I don't love the phrase fool's gold just because I believe every player has a value. It's just, but whose player, what are some players where their ADP is a little bit too high, their average draft position? You know, this Jonathan Brooks drumbeat in Carolina keeps getting louder every single second. And so Chuba Hubbard, who lost his job for a while to Rico Dowdle last year, you keep hearing, you know, so many great conversations about Jonathan Brooks and how strong he looks. And this is a guy, again, he's had a serious injuries over the last couple of years, but somebody that Carolina drafted very, very early. And so I think people that are drafting Chuba Hubbard expecting the full workload that they got last season, that might be a little concerning. Look, I love Davante Adams. He is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He is a Hall of Famer to me. But last year, if you look at his fantasy production, it was very touchdown reliant. When they got in close, Matthew Stafford was constantly looking for Davante Adams. And so, you know, in a world where Puka Nacua stays healthy this season, in a world where they go a little bit more run heavy when they get in close, I feel like Sean McVay really wanted Stafford to win the MVP season. The MVP last year, right? And so they just kind of peppered Davante Adams with all these touchdowns. Look, and there's no one better in the red zone than Davante Adams. But I'm just nervous that I'm always nervous about players that are super touchdown reliant for their fantasy production. I think he's going to be very good, Davante Adams. I don't know that he lives up to what he did last year because I don't think Stafford does either. Stafford's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but I don't think we're seeing, you know, that kind of touchdown production out of Stafford, which has traditionally not been what he has done. Sean McVay traditionally has run when he gets in close. That's why Kyron Williams has been so good. So those are a couple of guys that I think might be going a little bit too high right now.
Okay, now, as far as, you know, a lot of teams have been kind of finding these backs that they get behind and, you know, a lot of surprise names pop up midseason and things like that. Would you say, in fantasy PPR, you know, you want catches. You know, you want catches and things like that. Are you more of a dependent on your backs to be your foundation, or do you got to get your right wides?
Yeah, again, it's all about best player available. There's some very good running backs. There's some very good wide receivers. And listen, if you had Trey McBride last year, you were counting on your tight end, right? So I don't know that it's really a position specific thing, O'Shea. Here's what I would say though is that. There's been a lot of research that's been done, and check it out at fantasylife.com, by the way, where we have a bunch of this research. But one of the things that you notice is that a running back target, a running back reception is worth more than a running back carry in terms of what that turns into fantasy production. I won't bore you with all the math behind it. We've done the studies, but I will just tell you that generally speaking, And this makes sense, right? If you can get a running back that catches passes,
yeah,
or a wide receiver that can run, anytime you can earn points multiple ways, that's why we like quarterbacks that run, that can get you points with their legs and their arm. And so that would be I always prefer pass-catching running backs to first and second down grinders when I can get them.
Matthew, you talked about guys maybe being overdrafted or their ADP or who are a little too hot. One of those guys coming into this year is Luther Burden. I am going to keep him because I have last round value on Luther Burden. But what are your thoughts on this Bears kind of up and comer and the Bears offense in general?
Yeah, I love Luther Burden. And I'm not alone. Yes. Like you said, he's a trendy sleeper this year in fantasy football, and rightfully so. You saw how he kind of exploded over the second half of the year, really came into his own. I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson and his play calling. Think about DJ Moore now in Buffalo. So there's more targets available for Luther Burden. I think there's a very legit argument as to whether or not you want Luther Burden this year versus Rome Odunze. Remember, Rome Odunze was a top 10 overall pick. You've obviously got Colston Loveland there. I think Caleb Williams has a big year this year. I think the entire Bears offense, I think you want as many pieces of the Bears offense as you can get. But specifically to Luther Burden, yeah, I'm a big fan. I think a monster year is coming for him.
Where is he? Is he third round, fourth round? Like, what's too early for him?
See, I think that's about the right range. You know, I think fourth round, again, depends on the size of your league. You're in a 12-team league.
Sure.
Is it a 12-team three-wide receiver league? Then he's going to go earlier than a 10-team two-wide receiver league. So it all depends on sort of, you know, position requirements and league size. But Luther Burden is a trendy sleeper. If you're going to want him, you're going to need to draft him early because there's a lot of people that like him a lot, Brockman, like you and I.
Yeah.
I will just say this, generally speaking. Look, I do rankings for a living. I've done them for almost three decades, right? I think I'm pretty good at them. Even I don't follow my rankings to a T. Rankings are a guideline. I get this question all the time. I really want Jeremiah Love this year, but I have the fifth pick. Is that too early for Jeremiah Love? Look, you're not getting him on the come around. If you want Jeremiah Love, then draft him.
Exactly.
You know, draft him at the fifth pick. Yeah. Is that higher than I currently have him? It is. But you know what? Fantasy football is a game we ultimately play for fun. And the minute the first snap happens, all the rankings are out the window. Where was Luther Burden last year? I mean, think about where, you know, Caleb Williams was last year. Think about, where Rico Dowdle was drafted last year.
Yeah.
So it's just as soon as the first snap happens, everything's out the window. So I'm a big believer in get the players you want. Use rankings, whether it's mine or somebody else's that you trust. Use them as a guideline, but literally just a guideline, because what rankings do is they reflect market value, and none of us can predict the future. So if you want Jeremiah Love, if you want Luther Burden, whoever it is you want, get your guys, man.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's great advice. Follow that. If you want a guy, just take him. Like you said, fantasy is all about fun and rooting for guys you like and want to watch play. Think about the teams you want to watch play every Sunday, too. Mm. All right, quarterback question, Matthew. Of the kind of big names that we expect big things from, who kind of scares you the most for 2026?
Who scares me the most?
Who maybe may not be as good as we kind of traditionally have thought?
Oh, boy, I like them all. It's a loaded question. I will tell you that I am a huge Jackson Dart fan, but, you know, given the fact that him and Malik Nabers, what did they play last together? 12 snaps, 20 snaps, something like that last year together?
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that, and of course, Nabers has been rehabbing this year, and so they haven't had a lot of time off season as well. It's a new offense coordinator, new offense. We don't know how Isaiah Likely is going to fit in there. And so, and Dart, who again, you know, he's so dynamic, but you're worried about those concussions as well. Jackson Dart is somebody who I'm a huge fan of, but I am nervous about his production, at least early in the season, until we know 100% what's the health of Nabers, what's the health of Cam Scataboo, and what's this offense going to look like.
Matthew, what up? TJ here. A lot of people don't know me and Matt Barry go back to like 2009 when I was doing a fantasy football show before fantasy football really blew up, and I was dressed as the chef, the cowboy chef. So that's how
long. TJ would do is like what was in essence a Zoom, like even before, but webcast became a thing.
It was Ustream.
It was a stream. I got to give a shout out to TJ. Seriously, TJ and Ashton Kutcher. Seriously, the actor Ashton Kutcher and TJ would do a fantasy football stream. Was that what, 2009, 2008?
Eight, nine, TJ? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so you guys were really early on the scene. And I just remember as somebody that's been, you know, a lifelong fantasy, you know, fantasy player and has fought for the hobby and fought for the game for so long to get respect, to get me, you know, the idea that I would be on a mainstream show like this talking about fantasy football was incredible, you know, 20 years ago. And the fact that Ashton, TJ did this, and a big star, Ashton was a big star, it still is obviously, but at the time, the idea that a big star like Ashton would do a fantasy football program was huge for the community. I met Ashton once and I told him that, thank you. And, you know, that's how TJ and I became friends, is because, honestly, I don't think Ashton would have done the show without having TJ next to him. So, no, seriously, that was a big thing for the industry. So much love and respect to you guys.
It was big for us, too. And it was something that, like, for 2 years previous, we had talked about doing it, but we didn't do it. And then one Saturday, he called me. He goes, I'm filming this on Monday in the office. Are you in? And I was like, well, of course I'm in. And we just made ourselves do it. So our league is actually auction, Matt, you know, so we don't do the serpentine. So it's like you're dealing with a budget here. The big position, like you said earlier, running back. And we know the names at the top of the list. So tell me, for the people who are in auction leagues, who would you bid the most money on? Who would you spend the most money on the running back position?
I mean, look, you know, all the obvious names are right there. Look, I have Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson right there at 1-2, just like everyone. So those are the two running backs that should go for the most money. But here's what I'll say, just in general, when you're doing a salary cap league, or as you call the TJ, an auction league, when you're doing something like that, I'm a big believer in, as we just talked about with Brockman, like, get your guys. Mm-hmm. Here's my strategy there. Too many times I've been in those kind of drafts where people are like, oh, you know, gosh, I really want Carnell Tate. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting there and they're like, I'm going to hold on to Carnell Tate. And then you get to, and then all these big name wide receivers go. And then you get to Carnell Tate and you're like, I've got him marked up for, like, I think he's a $20 player. And then, like, but you get there and there's three other guys that love Carnell Tate. And he's like the last wide receiver two guy left. And all of a sudden he's going for $35.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer. And if there's a guy that you want in that type of draft, throw him out there. So, like, I used Jeremiah Love earlier. Let's say you want Jeremiah Love and you've got him listed at, again, it depends on your salary cap and your scoring system and how many teams, but let's call him a $45 player just for a number. So he's a $45 player. And so you've marked out that I'm willing to go to $50 for Jeremiah Love because I really believe in him this year. I love him. Well, I want to throw him out early because I want to know, either do I get Jeremiah Love for, you know, $50 or less? But in a world where there's a bidding war and there's three other great fans of Jeremiah, and he goes for like $55 or $60 because people at the beginning of those kind of drafts tend to spend a lot of money, then you can at least pivot, as opposed to you let Saquon go by and he goes for less than he should because people are out on Saquon this year, or James Cook, or some of these other, you know, running backs that have been around for a little bit longer. And then you're missing out on the bargains, and then it gets to the player you want and you get outbid because there's three or four other teams that have too much money left. So I'm a big believer in throwing out the player you want early so you know whether you've got him or if you have to pivot. The last thing I will say about a league like that is it's very important to understand where the values come. Sometimes they come early in the draft because everyone's holding on to their money. Sometimes they come late in the draft because everyone spent their money, and sometimes they happen in the middle. But those are ones where just every single player, you need to go in knowing this is what I'm willing to spend on this player. And if that price comes in or at that or under, you have to pull the trigger.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be holding on to money when the draft's over because, one, they're not real ducats, Shay. So you can't buy nothing with this money. And, you know, I'm defending. I won last year, and I was the first person done. Like, I spent all of my money first because I recognized who I wanted. I got them, and it let me do a championship. So
By the way, TJ, O'Shea.
Yeah.
Do you believe, like I do, that the entire reason – for TJ asking that question was so that he could drop that he won the
Come
league
on
last
now.
Year.
Man, he really 1,000%, do know you.
Matthew.
He really 1,000%. Does know you. That's what I'm talking about, man.
I mean, it was just so clearly, like, I was just like, where's TJ going with this?
You know, I won,
like,
last year.
There we go. Got to
For the fourth time.
Four times
in 25 years.
Now, who are some rooks, you know, you're looking at, or who some people you think are going to be in a sophomore slump, you know, that were probably hot last year. Now they got the scouting report on them and it might take a step back.
So let's start with some of the rookies I like. We've already talked about Jeremiah Love. I think Jordan Tyson has a monster year. I know there's concerns about the health, but I'm a big believer in this entire Saints office, this entire Kellen Moore offense. I love what they did last year. Very quietly, Tyler Shuck was top 10 in passing yards over the second half of last season. Now you add Jordan Tyson to Chris Olave, second year in the system. They improved the offensive line, Etienne in the backfield. Like, I think the Saints offense in a division that doesn't scare you. So I'm a big believer in Jordan Tyson this year. Obviously needs to stay healthy. You heard me just mention Carnell Tate. I think Tennessee is going to be kind of a, I don't think Tennessee is going to be great, but I think as an offense, like, I'm a Brian Daboll believer. I believe in him as a play caller. So I think they've spent a lot of money. You know, say what you want about the Titans, but they are giving Cam Ward every chance of success. Adding Daboll as a play caller, obviously Carnell Tate, I think Wandell Robinson coming in there. I actually really like Gunnar Helm, their young tight end who flashed a couple of times last year. So I'm excited to see Carnell Tate in Tennessee, where I think he'll get a big target share. And I also think Jadarian Price, again, let's find out how Zach Charbonnet does in terms of his rehab as we get closer to the season here. But that was a late season. I mean, ACL tears are really tough. The injury to Charbonnet was a very severe injury that happened late in the season. It was in the playoffs. So I don't know when we're going to see Zach Charbonnet, but Jadarian Price has a chance to, pardon the pun, run away with his job. As he gets in there and as the coaching staff gets, you know, more comfortable with him and trusts him, he doesn't have a ton of competition in camp. They use a first-round pick on Price. So I think he is somebody who, over the first half of the season, just in terms of how that team wants to run its offense, they want to run to set up play action, play good defense, and the fact that, you know, it's an offense that'll be in scoring position often, not a lot of competition. Yeah, I like Price quite a bit, and I know people are worried about, well, what happens when Charbonnet comes back? I'm like, well, let's see when he comes back. We don't even know when he's going to come back and what he looks like, but I promise you, if Price is getting the job done, he's still going to have a significant role for the Seattle Seahawks.
And I'll just give you, starting I'll on give the you, PUP list, TJ.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'll give you a deep one here. I'll give you a deep one here. This is one to stash towards the, you know, I think he's a second half guy. But how about Jonah Coleman, the running back for the Denver Broncos?
Yes.
You know, like, loved his college tape. And then you think about R.J. Harvey, like, by re-signing J.K. Dobbins and drafting Jonah Coleman, the Broncos sort of told you what they think of R.J. Harvey, right? That he's somebody that they can use on third down. They can use him as kind of a scat back. But it doesn't feel like they want R.J. Harvey to be their guy this year. They got a long look at him last year as the lead running back. J.K. Dobbins, who's come back there, I know it's kind of a three-headed monster, and Sean Payton has always used multiple running backs, even though he's not calling the plays this year. It's still going to be a Sean Payton offense. But I just believe that, again, when you think about, I think there's a ceiling to what R.J. Harvey can do. The fact that J.K. Dobbins, as much as we love J.K., he has struggled to stay healthy. I think there's a scenario where Jonah Coleman is the starting running back of the Broncos over the second half of the season. So that's a guy I like to draft and stash.
Now, I'm in a 16-man league. You know, we're all friends. We've all been friends for years, over decades, some going into two decades. So there's nothing like that tension that's in the room when, like, you're with your close pals and, like, you draft somebody and the room doesn't erupt. It's just kind of quiet. Like, oh, man, was that a bad pick?
Reach.
So it's all – yeah, exactly. Reach. So we know it's a mental game. And for me, a mental game that I like to play is I might take a quarterback a little early. So now everybody's thinking, oh, my God, so is he thinking quarterback? Should I get him a quarterback now? Might take a defense a little early, you know, just so people start thinking, like, oh, should I get one of the top ones right now? Just to, like, kind of, you know, shake things up a little bit. What do you think is too early for a defense? Because that's probably when I'm going to take them. So what's too early?
Again, this goes to what we were talking about in terms of how league type matters. Generally speaking, in leagues that play defenses, and I try not to play in leagues that have defenses, I much prefer super flex, and I like guillotine leagues. And anyway, but generally speaking, I wait to the last round to take a defense, except in a 16-team league.
Yeah.
In a 16-team league, which I play in like three or four different 16-team leagues, defenses are one of your starters, and they make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have drafted a defense as early as kind of the, you know, probably the 12th or 14th round in a 16-team leaguer because, again, this is going to be one of your starting positions. The waiver wire is really thin in a 16-team, and if you can have a defense that you don't have to worry about and you're not – because – because when you're in a 16 team league, you're going to want to play the waiver wire a lot, because again, you're going to go out of the draft with a very thin team and a very thin bench. So not wanting to have to use a waiver claim or use a spot on, you know, on multiple defenses because you're trying to, you know, do bye week fill ins, and there aren't as many good streaming defenses again in a 16 team league. So I don't mind actually going early in a 16 teamer for a defense. So I think the earliest I've ever done is probably a 12th round in a 16 teamer.
I've definitely hit a defense in the sixth round. Anyway, man, I can talk to you. I'm telling you, it makes the rest of the, as long as I can make the rest of the room panic, that is the goal, because this is a snake, 16 people, like, you're taking forever for your next pick. If I could get you to, like, reach a little earlier than what you want to, which causes this guy to do it, and that domino effect happens, I've won my mental warfare, and I got my number one defense. Matt.
O'Shea, if I may, offer you some mental warfare for you, since you like to mess with your league.
Please.
So I'm a big believer in you use every weapon you got, right? Mm. And O'Shea, I know you. I know you living in L.A. You are somebody that has a lot of celebrities as friends. You have a lot of pro athletes as friends. I've seen you. I've seen guys come up to you. I know you've got a lot of fans and friends that are pro athletes. So here's what I would do if I was O'Shea Jackson. I would figure out, I would get a picture, or whether you have it or you take it, but a picture of you with a pro athlete on a team, something like that. And post it on your Instagram, and then reach for that player, like, you know, like the night before your draft, and then reach for that player, and then be like, wait, what does O'Shea know? Oh, wait, I just saw a picture of him with whatever, Josh Allen. Yeah. And wait, he just reached for DJ Moore. What does he know?
I love this idea.
Absolutely, man. Listen, it's a great plan. I will also point out to everyone that one year I picked my cousin, Michael Thomas, and I have not seen him put his pads on since. Wow. It has been driving me crazy. Shout out to Mikey. I love you. But Matt, thank you so much, man. I will be in touch with you throughout the season. And have a great day, Matt.
I appreciate you, O'Shea, man. Thanks for having me on. Everyone, go to fantasylife.com. Check out fantasylife.com. Yeah. And I'm sure I will be texting with you and TJ often throughout the season.
I'll be after title number 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ooh, this year. 5.
This guy.
Kobe.
Of course.
See you, Matthew Berry, everybody.
All right, Matt.
Let's go.
Ooh, I
know I'm ready to
itch
go.
Now.
I might do a mock draft in the commercial break.
I might do it on the Uber. Oh, no. My man TJ going to take me to the airport.
I've done 2 mock drafts today already.
Let's go.
This is not, it's not a game.
Come on.
It's not a game.
All right, we got to go to break.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay. While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup this summer, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent. Future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA. Rich Eisen here for Gusto. After all these years talking to athletes, coaches, entertainers, and people at the top of what they do, one thing is pretty clear. Success usually depends on getting the details right. For small business owners, that includes payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, you know, the work that keeps everything moving, even if it's not the reason you started the business in the first place. That's why there's Gusto. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich.
Welcome back to our Friends of Radio. You guys have a favorite, like 1 year you just had your favorite fantasy team name where you were just like, this is a good one.
Oh, man. Well, on the show, we kind of do that where we write down the random names of just dumb things that we say. But I'm always the same team name for my fantasy week every year.
I'd expect nothing less. TJ?
I've had the same name for 13 years in a row now.
You guys anger me.
You want to know what it is? You want to know what it is, though.
Go ahead.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
He's a friend of yours. My team name is Best in the World.
Ooh. Okay, all right.
Okay.
Can't be mad at that.
It's been that.
Can't be mad at that. I, you know, 1 year I had a lot of Ravens. I was the Baltimore Shavens. One of my favorite years, I had Gurley, Robert Woods, fight on, and Legatron. It was Ram score, Shea scores. And my favorite by far, my fantasy basketball team, the Jumping Jehoshaphats.
my fantasy team 1 year, We did a league fantasy, you know, a show league. And Rich got so annoyed because after one day I didn't have a team name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I put TBD down, and Rich couldn't understand why. I'm like, Rich, I got to look at my roster because I usually
come.
So
that makes sense.
Just to irk him, every week I made my team name something that was TBD, like the Big Dunker or something.
Yeah.
And every week I just changed it just to make Rich mad. But it was all TBD.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. I had to dig in the crate for that one. It got tough to come up with stuff.
I love that, though. I love your way of thinking.
See, I know you're Petty Guerrero, but you got to understand I'm a little bit petty.
A little Petty Roosevelt. You know. But
petty.
Looking at my Gucci.
It's about that time.
It's about that time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Brockman's Powerless Rankings, brought to you by SoFi.
Let me have your attention for a moment.
And now it's Brockman's Powerless Rankings.
This is shame.
Do my arms really look like that?
I think that the point is to show that he's powerless.
All right, here we go. Rich does power rankings on Wednesday, and when he's not here, we do powerless rankings. All right, here we go. Here's my topic. The top 10 summer stories I'm already sick of hearing about. Summer stories I'm sick of.
We could skip one because I know which
number one. Number 10. I got 10 of these. There were 10. Okay. No, I had a lot. We had a narrow down. Number 10, Brandon Ayuk's future. Okay, this guy hasn't played football in like 38 years, okay? He's crashing out on his TikTok and Instagram stories. He keeps talking about the Commanders. Like, they don't want you, bro. Like, nobody wants you. Just please go away. I'm sick of hearing about this. I don't care if you play football ever again.
Wow. Okay.
I love 49er hate around here. Love that. Let's get some more of that.
I got a great audience. I knew who my host is, TJ.
Yes, sir.
All right, number nine. We talked about this earlier this week because SEC Media Day is going on. The College Football Super League, okay? You guys are like, you know, the Big Ten and SEC are like that couple that you know who keeps talking about getting divorced. Either do it or don't. I don't care, and I don't want to hear about it. Either break away and start this cool 60-team league or don't. Or just make nice and play within the confines of the NCAA, quote-unquote, rule book. We all going to watch college football, so whether you break away or not, we're still watching, so just figure it out. Sick of hearing about it.
I feel it. I'm loving this. This is therapeutic.
Number eight, okay? We just talked to Matt Damon last week, talking about the people being mad at the Odyssey, okay? Here's the deal. Helen of Troy wasn't a real person, okay? This is a made-up story.
Fictional character.
It's fictional character. You're mad at a movie. Stop it.
Those Greeks were kind of freaky. Like,
none of it is real. Just go to the movies. Pay your $20 and enjoy it. Eat some popcorn. It's going to be awesome. Oh, by the way, it made $300 million over the weekend. I cannot wait to see this thing. You're mad at nothing.
At literally nothing.
Yeah.
Go back to pretending you're not going to drink Bud Light and watch the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now.
All right, number seven. All GOAT debates. I'm sick of them all anymore. Yeah. Jordan, LeBron, Messi, Ronaldo.
I've been on
this. All of them. I'm just over it. We don't care. You like your guy. Yeah. I like my guy. Let's just live in peace and harmony. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
All GOAT debates.
I'm done with that.
Except for wrestling, because we just had a GOAT debate last week. We'll probably do it again.
100%, bro. Different ratings, story. Baby.
Who did you guys decide? Who's the wrestling GOAT?
Mine was Ric Flair.
Woo!
Mine is Kurt Angle. He does everything.
Kurt Angle?
He does everything. And, like, if I needed somebody to really wash my bag in a scrap, yeah. Wow. Kurt Angle.
I would not have guessed that.
I thought you...
Number six, Caitlin Clark, flop fest.
Okay, here's the deal.
Oh, man. They're going to be after you.
RIP to the comments in this.
I want more of the 45 and 10 stuff, because that's awesome. Logo threes, awesome. Yeah, like awesome. You being great at basketball. Less of the, like, whining to the refs and pretending to be hurt when we all saw the video, you didn't get touched. Like, stop that. Just be awesome and be done with it. Stop flopping. I'm done with that.
Yeah, man, and, you know, they want to talk about the physicality of the WNBA. Where were y'all when my GOAT, Candace Parker, I'm sorry, we just talked about this. When my GOAT, Candace Parker, got into a full-on brawl in Detroit, where were the comments then? Anyway, sorry. Don't get me going, dude.
All right, and this one, I think I'm going to anger you guys because I know you guys are a fan of him, but you know what? We're a Seth Rollins show around here. Enough of acknowledging Roman Reigns. Okay, here's the deal. It's been how many years and this guy's still looking for acknowledgement? Like, are you a only child begging for acceptance and love? Like, what is going on with this? What are we doing? Enough with that. This is the Seth Rollins neighborhood over here.
Listen.
Enough acknowledging Roman Reigns. I'm over it.
He said it again.
You know, you had me. And then you lost me right there, bro. Come on now. First of all, I just want to thank the Tribal Chief for giving us the opportunity to doing this show today. 1,316 days!
Does he have pictures you and something? Like, come on.
Come on, bro. There's a gif of him pointing to me from the ring.
Enough of it.
Pointing out at him.
Here's the deal about what he said. It's true, because I saw it happen. Okay, yeah. It did. It disgusted me.
I'm with you, Chief.
I'm a visionary and a revolutionary. All right, number four. Anything Bryson DeChambeau and Liv Golf. I'm done with this, dude.
Done with it.
Okay?
Huh?
Stop stomping on the grass. I don't care if you meant to do it. You didn't need to do it. No, enough with the YouTube stuff. Why haven't you talked to the media? Liv Golf is done. You're toast. Either be a YouTube golfer or be a serious PGA Tour player. What are we doing? I'm done with you.
Ooh. Love it.
Number three. I'm kind of tired of NFL players complaining about the grass fields. Do you like playing in Pittsburgh on that slop turf or no? Like, come on. Mm. Sometimes the AstroTurf or the field turf or whatever we have now, it might actually be better for you. It's an equal number of injuries on both surfaces. Get over it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've always heard
if you really want to play on a grass field, demand a trade to a team that has grass.
How about that?
Okay.
How about that?
All right, number two. I'm kind of sick of hearing about these quarterback competitions that ultimately won't matter. You think the Browns, Vikings, or Cardinals are going to win the Super Bowl this year? Nope. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I'm already sick of it, and they haven't even been decided yet.
Yeah, 100%. Like, what do I care about what's going on at the bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, 100%. I don't concern myself with the bottom of the barrel because the cream rises to the top.
Ooh!
All right. Number one, and you know what this
stepping
is.
On our, stepping on our.
You know what this is, TJ, number one. I'm done with the LeBron waiting game.
I didn't see this coming.
Oh, wow.
Like, pick a team and be done with it. You're not winning the championship next year. You're not winning MVP. You're not going to be on the All-NBA team. Just pick a team so we can move on.
Man, I just want, when this does get put back on the story, I just want to say that the views are Chris Brockman's alone and not reflective of.
And those are the top 10 summer stories that I'm already sick of.
Hey, LBJ, come back home, baby. You don't want to move. Anyway.
Thoughts? You guys Brockman, feel good about those?
Powerless rankings are brought to you by SoFi. Yeah. Get your money right.
Get your money right.
Not your funny right. Man.
I don't like that segment. I don't think there's anyone within the sound of our ears that were surprised by number one.
No, we knew that was coming.
Yeah. But I am not alone in being sick.
No. I'm sick of it because I wish he would just be a Laker and just like, let's just end all this.
Right.
But you are a green loving LeBron hater. So, like, I expect this from you.
Yeah.
You Celtic, you Celtic warrior.
Go to Miami and play.
I mean, look, we got Jaylen Brown, so I don't want to get too greedy.
Shout out to Jaylen Brown.
You know what I'm saying?
My favorite Sixer. But of all time.
Disrespectful when Dr. J.
Shout out Jaylen Brown. I loved watching him and rooting for him for a decade. That was awesome.
Yeah.
TJ, enjoy him. It's great.
I hope to.
Yeah.
I hope to.
You know, Doc.
It's the doctor.
That Dr. J point that you just had is true. You know, when I think about Doc, I think about, you know, the Nets and like that fro and all of
you
that.
You don't think about
that. I'll give Jaylen my second favorite.
Okay, that's over
AI? Jaylen Brown was in the
he was in the Big Three.
In the Big Three.
Allen Iverson also played for us, so.
Yeah, I know, but like.
You were a Kobe guy, I get it, but.
Shout out to AI, not artificial intelligence.
No.
Talking about Bubba Chuck.
If Allen Iverson was 6 feet 4 inches tall, basketball would have been different. But
you know,
he wasn't. He was 5'11", so there was that.
And if my grandmother had wheels, she would have been a bike. Yeah,
true that. True that.
You know. All right. Voice in my head. We're going to break.
Hoskins with a Y, bro.
Hello.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Save money on your next oil change with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rich Eisen here. Running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge? Finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply.
Well. Almost called you one. Almost called you one right there. Remember, we got to love TJ Jefferson.
You better not. We're on Disney. Bro.
I know, man. But you put the N in NCW. I'll tell you that. All right, man. Let's take some calls. I want to talk to some people, man.
You put the hard R in Junior. So.
Who's the...
Oh, God.
Let's take Manny in El Paso, man.
Manny.
Been waiting for a minute.
Ding, ding, ding. Saludos del Paso, Texas. Bienvenidos al programa de Ricardo Isán.
Sí, es
con
bueno.
El más rudo de rudo, pero con la voz de Petales una Rosa. O'Shea, órale, Jackson.
Hey. Love him already.
Órale.
Mi
compañero de esquina es el multifanático, multi-equipo, el tremendo jefe, TJ Jefferson. Al otro lado de la esquina es recién casado, pero no ha cambiado. Es el loco con poco pelo, Cristobal Bruckner.
Hey. I completely agree.
You cannot do that.
I have no idea what he said.
Su compañero es el tesoro de la nación. Pucha los botones, le subo el volumen. En la llave te puso Miguel del Tufo.
Yes, sir. How you doing over there, Manny?
It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. LeBron is on the verge of performing his Hogan-esque NWO heel turn. He wants a spotlight on him only. He's jealous of the young talent. Instead of getting the stage ready for the future, he says, F that. I am the show. Brockman hit the nail on the head. LeBron is Roman Reigns. LeBron wants acknowledgement still to this point. He's 42 years old. And acknowledge me, I'm LeBron. Move aside, both of you. And Mr. Jackson, I ask one favor. You, as you said, are famous now. You have your finger in the pulse. Can you somehow push the magic buttons to get Dave Letterman as a guest for Richard Eisen? If you do this, oh, my God, he will have you in high praise. He's going to make it the Rich Eisen O'Shea Show. That's what I call it. Guys, I love you. It's an honor to talk to you guys. Be safe. Be kind. Let's watch some sports.
Is this a real thing?
Adios, muchachos.
Rich wants David Letterman?
Well,
it's, you know.
It's like a pipe dream. Like but Manny pushes this harder than anyone, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
I think it's his ultimate dream guest.
Ultimate dream guest?
It's Dave, yeah.
Evil maniacal laugh. Evil maniacal laugh.
Pretty
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I didn't know Rich had a make-a-wish that he wants to get done right here.
Yeah.
Letterman?
Yeah.
I will use my evil Hollywood powers for good. And I will do what I can to get this done. Mm. It has to be done. Because this is a Rich Eisen show where doers get the most done. Not the other the thing where that slogan is useful. But I didn't know that. I'm trying to get that done for you, Rich. You've done so much for everybody here. You deserve David Letterman.
That would be incredible.
I had Marshawn Lynch here.
That was amazing.
And I did not know he had never been here before.
I still can't believe that happened.
Right. It was a fever dream.
That was a wild hour.
Right. And he, like, low-key, like, lingered longer than they
ever. Didn't want to leave. I was just like, are you staying again?
Yeah. He didn't want to leave.
That was the best. I'll never forget you being like, Marshawn's coming here?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's on his way.
In studio? Okay.
Marshawn Lynch, dude. So I got to get, man, now it's a goal. Now it's a goal.
Have you ever met Dave?
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be much help with this.
This is going to be my greatest feat yet. You know, maybe he'll finally hang that picture up of me. Matter of fact, we'll go get that painting right right after.
Is it here around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know where it is.
You left it here? Okay.
I know where it's at.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I know where it's at. Just, oh yeah, we gotta bring that back out, bro.
It'll be back where it is if it comes out again.
100%. That's why we gotta go get it. It has been, you know, quite an eventful day. We gotta say to our friends the radio, see you guys in a minute. You're listening to the Rich Eisen Show. O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Still on
TV.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.